Hello, Gospel for Grampian listeners. It is 16th November and it is episode 74, and we are coming to you today with faith in action. What we're actually saying is Jesus in action. So let me welcome our crew. How are you today, Mom?
I'm fine and perfect.
Perfect. Mom's perfect and fine. How are you, beautiful Erica?
I'm excellent, thank you very much. Excited in the Lord.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. And to our beautiful Shanaz.
Good day to our Gospel for Grampian listeners. And I'm truly blessed and humbled, looking forward to this lovely discussion this evening. Thank you, beautiful ladies.
Awesome, awesome. So, Gospel for Grampian listeners, last week we spoke about we live by faith. And we spoke about the senses that needs to be activated in the spirit in order to explore the kingdom of God, and the senses that explores the natural environment. We said the physical senses is used to explore the natural environment, and the spiritual senses is used to explore the kingdom of God. And we identify that faith is the vision of our sight in the kingdom of God. Therefore, without faith, it is impossible to please God, because whatever God has in store for us, we need to see it. And the only way we see it is through the eyes of faith. And running our race requires us to explore God's kingdom and extract that kingdom life into the natural environment. I love what Paul states in Hebrews about running our race. He calls it a race of faith. Hebrews 12:1-2. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set forth before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set forth before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, this scripture is saying that our race on earth, our purpose on earth, requires faith. And that faith comes from Jesus, who is the author and the source of our faith. So in order for us to exercise faith, we need to know Jesus, and Jesus is the one who completes our faith. So the beginning of our life and the end of our life comes from the author of faith, with his Jesus Christ. Like he says, beautiful Shanaz and Erica, Jesus says, God is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending. So too, when it comes to running our race, God is the beginning of our race and the end of our race. Therefore, he's the author and the finisher of our faith. How thinkest thou, Shanaz, on this?
I think that's such an important scripture for us as believers, because when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ, we do it in faith. We haven't seen him. We've read about his love for us. We've read the story about his love for us. This beautiful love that allowed him to sacrifice his life on the cross. And when we accept the Lord Jesus, when we come into his kingdom, we do it through faith. We have not seen him with our natural eyes. You spoke about our natural senses, but through faith we accept the Lord Jesus as our personal saviors. And that is the foundation of our walk with the Lord. That is the very foundation that we as Christians establish our faith upon Jesus, upon the fact that he died on the cross for all our sins, so that we can have a relationship and have an eternity with him. So faith is quite critical for us as believers. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Erica, do you want to add to this amazing scripture about God being the beginning and the end of our journey on the earth and forevermore, and how the source of our faith is the Alpha and the Omega?
Yes, you know, if we read Hebrews 11, Shanaz just touched on verse 1. Every person, the faith walked on in history, it says, by faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear prepared an ark for the saving of his household. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he could receive as inheritance. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country. So faith is so crucial in our walk with God that we can have a life that is so strong and so confident, because you said it's the substance of the things that we hope for. So what do we hope for? We hope in Christ Jesus, and he is the evidence of things not seen. That is how I see it. So that strengthens me to walk when I'm in a storm, to know that my hope is in Christ, and he is the one that will allow me to see the end, the result of this walk that I'm walking, the purpose that he's called me for, to truly have the faith of Jesus Christ. Thank you.
When I think about the life of Jesus, Jesus had an action life. Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. That means the works that he did, he said greater works would we do. That means his faith he's bestowing upon us. And for those of you that are listening and saying, what do we mean his faith? The fruits of the Spirit is not ours, but we have access to it when we are one with the Lord. Right, Shanaz? The fruits of the Spirit is not the fruits of Angelina or Shanaz. It's the fruits of God.
Because we are all his children, and therefore we should reflect his nature.
Yes.
And his nature is to love, to demonstrate love. That cross speaks about his love for all mankind. And so I have to demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit, because this is what he desires for us to do. The Word of God teaches us that through faith we are saved, and through faith we are walking in relationship. And daily he gives me the ability, like Erica says, to overcome my challenges. It's my faith in his word that strengthens me daily. And so through the fruits of the Spirit, I'm demonstrating that I actually belong to Jesus. The fruits of the Spirit is an example. It's a testimony of who Christ Jesus is. Thank you, Angelina.
I love what you're saying. The fruits of the Spirit is a testimony of who Christ Jesus is. And Erica, one of the fruits is faith.
You know, I'm so excited by listening what Shanaz has to say. All the while she's talking about the fruits of the Spirit. And I've got this scripture of Romans 8 verse 14 where it says, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. And that makes me so excited that when you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, you receive His Holy Spirit. And His Holy Spirit is the one that imparts into you the fruits of the Spirit. So what makes me so excited that God has done everything for us. When we receive Jesus, He gives us His Holy Spirit to guide us, to teach us, to help us when we fall. He picks us up. I read in Ezekiel 1 verse 12, it says, and each went straight forward, wherever the Spirit was about to go, they would go, without turning as they went. So I can declare that I am led by the Spirit of God. Wherever He goes, I go. I cannot be diverted from the path that He has set before me. That makes me so excited. I cannot contain myself, that we as people are born into a world, a broken world, where we are taught to say, you must do this to get this right. You must not do this. However, everything is about what I do. But Jesus came and said, come home, accept my invitation, and allow my Spirit to lead you. And that is faith, because we have faith in Him who saves us. We have faith in Him who gives His Holy Spirit to us, what then works in us for His good pleasure, that He is then the one that works every fruit of the Spirit in us and through us. And by faith, we get to where He wants us to go, because we only place our faith in Him. And we say, Lord, my faith is in you. You take me, you make me, you do what your will is for my life. And every step of the way, I can't go wrong. Yes, life also happens, and we make choices, unfortunately. But again, he comes with his mercy because I place my faith in him and I say, I'm sorry, I repent, forgive me. And immediately he comes again. And my faith that I've placed in him activates his merciful arm towards me to save me and to pick me up again.
Thank you, Erica. And I love the part where you spoke on Ezekiel, where you said that wherever he went, I go.
Yes.
And that is what faith is. Faith is looking at the author of faith and saying, what you want me to do, I'm going to listen to you and obey. Because it's not my faith, it's his faith. The yes. fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, meekness, right? And patience. And so the joy of the Lord. So it's not my joy when I'm happy. It's the joy of the Lord. It's not my peace. Jesus said, I leave my peace with you. Whose peace do I have? His peace. So whose faith do I have? His faith. And because we are in him. So his faith works in us. His joy works in us. His peace works in us because it is his faith. You cannot build joy. You cannot build peace. It exists and it is God's peace and it is God's joy. And so you embrace that. And you have the joy of the Lord, which is what you need, where is strength. You embrace his peace so that you do not get overwhelmed by the challenges of the world. You embrace his faith so that you see what he sees. If you don't embrace his faith, you're not going to see what he sees. If you don't embrace your hearing, the listening ear, you're not going to hear his voice. So let's see how Jesus walked the earth by faith. Because he ran his race. And what in those 3 years, what did he do, Shanaz? When we look at John 21, it says there, John 21, 25. And there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written because Jesus did so many miracles and so many things over those 3 years. 3 years of things he did was so much, and yet there were still accounts that wasn't written. And if it was written, there would have not been enough space on the earth to be able to record all the things he did in terms of books-wise. So Jesus did a lot by faith. He came into the earth leaving his powers. He has what we have now. He had the Holy Spirit, which we have. Right? And so that is why he said, greater works will you do than I, because he went to be by the Father and he sent us the same Spirit of God that he has. So when we begin to operate in his faith, then we can understand the revelation of the greater works. Now let's see what made Jesus successful in running his race of faith. I love what Janah said last week. She said, Jesus said, I only do what I saw the Father do and I did it. Jesus had a seeing eye. He said, I only say what I hear the Father say. Jesus had a hearing ear. So the successful faith is a seeing eye and a hearing ear. Hearing to listen, to obey. Seeing to understand, to do. Can you see? The seeing, I understand what I'm seeing, now I can do. Hearing, I understand and I'm listening to what you're saying, Dad, and I'm going to say it because you can't say what you don't understand. So when he was hearing with understanding, therefore he could say what the Father told him to say. When he was seeing with revelation, therefore he could do what the Father said he could do. So faith requires us to have a seeing eye, which means we need revelation, and a hearing ear, which means we need understanding. And that is why multiplication happened, healing happened, deliverance happened, because Jesus was in partnership with the Father doing everything the Father said and did. Jesus went to heaven and the relationship he had with the Father is the example that he reveals to us that we ought to have in him. In him. He said, I set it for you. I only did what I saw the Father do and say what the Father said. Now I've been given all authority, and all you need to do is tap into the Word, allow the Holy Spirit to reveal vision to you and for you to hear what he has to say, because Holy Spirit is only saying what I tell him to say, and he's only revealing to you what I'm showing him to reveal to you. So, Shanaz, The relationship we have today with God is no different to the relationship Jesus had with the Father. And he said it so many times. I only do what I see the Father do, and I only say what the Father says. And that's why he had faith. And he's saying today, Shanaz, he's saying to us, my dear children, I've left you myself as an example, and I've sent you the Holy Spirit. Just like the Father spoke to me and I responded, I speak to you through my word and through the Spirit who reveals to you. Therefore, when you open yourself to the Holy Spirit, he gives you revelation of the word that I've given you, and therefore you can see with revelation and walk and do it, and you can hear my voice with understanding through the unction of the Holy Spirit and say it. So why are we struggling when it comes to faith? Talk to me, Shanaz.
I love what you're saying, Angelina, that Jesus made his relationship with his Abba Father priority, and that's what we need to do as his children. I like what John 15 verse 4 says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. We spoke about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So what fruit are you bearing? Is your fruit demonstrating that you are abiding in Christ? Unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. So this scripture tells us that if we are not abiding in Christ, our fruits will tell us that. So if I'm not demonstrating the fruits of the Spirit that you spoke about, Angelina, the love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, everything that's the opposite of that tells me if I'm displaying hatred, envy, bitterness, resentment, then it means I'm not abiding in Christ. So therefore, I will not have faith, which is one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So when I'm no longer abiding in Abba Father, then my faith will be filled with fears. And therefore, I will not be able to demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit. So this is one way we can tell when we are no longer abiding in Jesus. And I think verse 7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. So that means Jesus is promising us that when we are abiding in him, when we have a relationship with him like the way he had with Abba Father whilst he was on the earth, he spent a lot of time in prayer, spent a lot of time in knowing what God's word was. That when he spoke to a situation, so it was because he had the authority. Abba Father gave him the authority. And so when we abide in Jesus and the Holy Spirit reveals the word of God to us, he gives us revelation knowledge, and we have to demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit then. When we ask, we shall receive. And it's so simple, but yet we make it so complicated because we become weak. We allow our fleshly desires to take control. And I think for me, that's a good way, Angelina, Erica, I don't know about you, to actually monitor oneself to say, what is my fruits actually displaying? And am I aligning to the fruits of the Spirit? And if I'm not aligning to that, then actually I'm out of relationship with Abba Father. And that should be like a robot showing me caution lights going into amber and red. Because then it means I'm walking out of relationship with Jesus. I don't know. What do you think, Erica?
Yes, you know, what you're saying is absolutely true, Shanaz. I believe that because as I was listening, I'm just reminded of John 16 again, where he says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth, the whole truth, for he will not speak his own message, but he will tell whatever he hears from the Father. He will give the message that has been given to him. And he will announce and declare to you the things that are to come, that will happen in the future. So when Jesus walked the earth, he had this relationship with the Father. When he left the earth, he left his Spirit with us so that he can tell us what he hears, the message that the Father has for us, that we have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe that we cannot. We have to abide in him, and he needs to abide in us. The question that you, precious Angelina, asked was, why do we struggle so much to have faith on this earth? And Shanaz explained it very well. I just want to put it in, like, in a life situation. We are born into this world, and unfortunately, many of us are being born into the world, you know, not in the Christian living. And we get all this that we have to do things because we are intelligent, we are being taught to do things and stuff like that. And we are so centered on our own. And when we come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ and we give our life to him, then we have to get to that point where we come to the realization and to the revelation of what Christ did for us on the cross, that he wants an intimate relationship with him. To set myself apart with the Father, that I can become known by him and I know him more, as we read in Ephesians 3 verse, I think 15, it says, open the eyes of my understanding that I may know you, you know. So when I know my Father, when I know Jesus, faith can truly rise up, that when I ask, as you mentioned the scripture, then I can ask him whatever I want and I will get it, because my faith is so strengthened, because I know my Father, I know my Jesus, and I know they will not disappoint me. But it is a journey, unfortunately. I want to just share this with listeners of Gospel for Grampian, that do not be discouraged. Know that Jesus is always alongside you, and he always is there so quickly to help you, so that when you are disheartened or disappointed, know that he is there for you, and he wants to strengthen your faith. Put your eyes on him. Do a prophetic act. Take your physical eyes and lift it up towards heaven and say, Lord, I'm looking into your eyes. I'm reaching out and I'm taking from your faith. And I'm standing and I'm believing that in this matter you are meeting with me. And he does that immediately. He's not a God that plays hide and seek. He is so forever willing to assist us, to help us, to strengthen us. Thank you so much, precious Angelina and Shanaz.
Yes, and I'm hearing this abiding. The key to faith is abiding. Oneness with the Father, oneness with the Son, and oneness with the Holy Spirit. Jesus abode with the Father through the Spirit of God. Therefore, in partnership with the Father and the Holy Spirit, everything he could do on the earth as a natural human, because he was abiding in God. And for us to be able to have our faith in action, we have to abide in the source of faith, which is Jesus Christ. Now, I want to look at two accounts in the Bible of our very own beloved disciples, who we had some that had faith and one that did have but fell away, and what caused them not to have faith. Okay, so when we look at Matthew 14, John had just gotten beheaded. His head was placed on a plate and brought to Herod's brother's wife. And John followers who took his body and they buried it, and they brought the news to Jesus that John had died. Jesus, hearing the news of John, departed from the place and he went to a deserted place by himself. So he was obviously going through a mourning of John being beheaded and passed on. And the Bible records, when the multitudes heard that Jesus was gone to a deserted place, they followed him from the cities and went to the deserted place. They were so hungry for Jesus, the multitudes followed Jesus to the deserted place. Now, Jesus, even though he went away to be on his own, when he saw the great number of people, he was moved by compassion and he held a healing crusade. And many were saved. And then evening happened and they were all hungry, and Jesus supernaturally blessed the 5 loaves and 2 fish that were there, and he blessed them. And after he'd completed the crusade, verse 22 in Matthew 14 says, immediately he said to them, get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Here's Jesus having a long day. And then he said, everybody go, I'm going to spend time with the Father. And when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was quite contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a ghost. And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. So he said, come. What I loved about this, Erica and Shanaz, is that Peter had a listening ear, and he understood that if it is God, give me a word. And that's the key for us to walk by faith. We need to say, Lord, give me a word. And when God gives us a word which is in his scripture, we must act on it. Peter acted on it. And when Peter had come out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. This is Peter in the natural dimension, walking in a supernatural experience. Gravity did not confine him. But when Peter saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning, he sank and he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, truly you are the Son of God. So here we see in this account, there's one that acted in faith and the others that sat in complacency on the boat, waiting for a miracle to confirm that Jesus Christ is God. There's some that wait for a miracle to believe and have faith. And there's others that say, give me a word so I can respond by faith. The disciples walked with Jesus, yet doubted him until they saw Jesus walk on water. And Peter, following that, they worshipped and said, truly. Right? Now, you get others that are like Peter, who are quick to hear the word and respond to the call and step out. But the minute a storm comes forth, they turn their eyes from God and they look to the circumstances and storms. Imagine Peter said, if it is you, call me. He heard Jesus. He saw Jesus and stepped out. He had a listening ear. He had an eye that was seeing. Therefore, he did not allow the limitations of the storm, the water and gravity and the natural environment to confine him. He walked supernaturally because he saw with his spirit and he heard with a spiritual voice. When we step out of the boat, we walk in a supernatural dimension on the earth. But if you choose to allow the storms to distract you from hearing and seeing in the spirit, Gospel for Grampian listeners, you are going to drown in the natural. We cannot have a seeing eye and a listening ear to the things of God, which is supernatural, and expect to allow the things of this world to make the things of God succeed. One is carnal and one is spiritual. So when we say, Lord, we are stepping out in faith, like Peter did, to step on the water, you've got no choice but to keep your spiritual eyes open and your spiritual ears open and obey every instruction of the spiritual dimension. Had Peter kept his eyes on Jesus, he would not have drowned in the natural environment. While God has given us everything in the natural, it is rooted in the spiritual dimension. Everything God wants us to have for success on the earth is provoked from a kingdom that is unseen by the natural eye. And we need to say, like Peter, God, if it is you, give me a word. God, if it is you, I want to hear the word I want to see you so that I can say, give me a word and I can respond. And when you're deciding to take that step, you need to make sure that the rest of your journey in that instruction God gives you is spiritually seen and spiritually discerned. If you don't do that and you decide to waver into the carnal, then you are going to sink in the issues of life. I mean, how many people we know, Shana, start their journey stepping out of the boat and yet return to the boat and join the other disciples because they don't discipline their lives to hearing and seeing in the Spirit. All Peter had to do was keep his eyes on Jesus and all was fine because he heard the call, come. How many of you Gospel for Grampian listeners, God is saying, come. He gives you a word and he says, step out, I'm there with you. And which means that you are safe. Because you are in the boundaries of God. You are in the dimension where nothing, there's no limitations and the enemy cannot touch you because you are in a kingdom that God is protecting you. But how many people step out and step back into the boat because they allow the circumstances to waver them from walking in the Spirit?
Absolutely, Angelina. I think how you explain that is really so profound. And I think there's so many scriptures that actually tells us that Jesus took time away to go and pray. Luke chapter 5, verse 16 says, so he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. So what does that tell us? Erica spoke about, don't keep your eyes on this world. We're born into this world. But don't keep your eyes on this world. Turn your eyes unto Jesus. And you spoke about hearing and seeing, Angelina, but you're also teaching us about hearing in the Spirit and seeing in the Spirit. It's not to do with our natural senses. And how do we stay in tune with Jesus? So it's like a radio station. If you want to listen to a particular radio station, you have to the old radios, you had to turn that knob dial, turn that dial so that you get the exact radio station. You have to tune it in. So spiritually, we have to tune ourselves into the Spirit. And we can only do that like Jesus did, through prayer, through reading the Word of God, through meditation. Because what you're saying, Angelina, is so profound that some of us have faith, and like a Peter, we want to go out and experience it, and we want to walk on the water. But then for a moment, we get distracted, either past experiences or past emotions or hurts that resurfaces, that grabs our attention, and then it takes our faith away from Jesus. And that's where we get lost, distracted. Or the challenge becomes so difficult that we give up. I like what James says, Angelina and Erica, and our beautiful listeners. James 1, verses 2. It says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So when we go through a trial, we hear that the Word of God tells us here it will produce patience. There's a testing. And so faith produces patience. So if we don't have faith, then we won't. And it doesn't produce patience, then we won't go through that process. Sometimes we want to have a quick fix, you know. We want to short circuit the challenge we're experiencing. So what do? We want to solve for it in our own ways, in our own natural abilities. We don't want to allow Jesus to complete the process for us. That's when we give up. We lose our faith. We lose our spiritual sight. We don't keep our faith on Jesus. And then we know that when patience is lost, then its perfect work will not be completed in us. And it says when we actually follow the process, we will lack nothing, but we become impatient, we lose focus, we get distracted, we make other plans, we give up on the process, and we don't trust God. Just like Peter, he wanted to experience walking on the water. He had faith in Jesus. He stepped out, and then a few steps later, he took his eyes off Jesus. What did he see? He saw he was on the water. And sometimes we are like that in this life. We have the Word of God. We know what it says about our situation. Perhaps it's your healing that you're trusting Abba Father for. But then we don't keep to the promise of God's Word for our lives. We get lost. We listen to perhaps what the doctor's results say, and we don't practice our faith and stand on the Word of God, that promise that is given to us. And then we give in to the illness, perhaps. And so that's how we get lost. So we need to really be like Jesus, continuously spend time in prayer, continuously seek God's Word, and guard our minds and our emotions from having those blind spots where we really just lose sight of what God's promises are for us. Thank you, beautiful ladies.
Thank you, Shanaz. We're going to come back to what you were saying now, but I want to just close this verse, O you of little faith, and then we bring back James 1:2-4, because that's very, very profound for what we want to talk today about. Faith in action, Jesus in action. I don't say faith in action. I'd prefer to say Jesus in action, because in Christ we live, in Christ we move, and in Christ we have our being. And, you know, through in doing this radio recording, I must say, Shanaz and Erica, I've seen faith in a whole new light. I've always thought that I had to build it in a specific way. And now I've just realized it's Jesus's faith. I just have to have confidence in him, because it's his faith. Just like I need his joy and I need his faith, when I need joy because I'm really down, I say, I need your joy, I'm taking your joy. When I don't have peace, I say, Lord, I need your peace, I'm taking your peace that passes all understanding. And I allow the peace of God to soak in me, and therefore I sit in peace and I enjoy peace. I need to do the same thing with faith. He is faith. Just like I grab onto joy, grab onto peace, I need to grab onto faith. What is faith when he talks about it in verse 31? Oh, you of little faith. I love how the Greek word calls it oligopista, and it comes from the word oglios and pistis, which means incredulous. Get this, Erica. That is lacking confidence. Oh, you of little faith means lacking confidence. That means faith is confidence in God. That is what faith is. Confidence in God. It's that easy. It is that easy. This is coming from the Bible Heart group study, where it says the definition of, oh ye of little faith, means lacking confidence. Oligos, it means little in number, low in quantity. That means I'm lacking confidence. I'm low in faith, meaning I'm having a low confidence in God. And the Bible says that in John 10:3, John 10:4, John 10:27, Jesus rebukes the problem of failing to hear his voice. When we fail to hear his voice, it's because we don't have confidence in him. The key is hearing his voice. When we hear his voice, we begin to build confidence. Oglipistos describes someone dull to hearing the Lord's voice or disinterested in walking intimately with him. That reminds me of the disciples that actually sat on the boat. There were all the disciples on the boat. Jesus is on the water. One got interested. The others just sat in the boat. Hey, they were disinterested in walking intimately with him on the water because they had lack of confidence in God. Look what happened, Erica. The minute they saw Peter walk on water, the Bible says that the disciples said, the rest of them that were in the boat said, truly you are the Son of God, and they worshipped him. They had to see a miracle in order to build their confidence in God.
Yes, we read in the Word that it is by hearing the Word of God and hearing the Word of God and hearing the Word of God that faith arises inside of us, that faith is strengthened in us. Angelina and Shanaz, you've both been speaking the whole time of coming back to the Word, that we need to study the Word. And It is the faith of Jesus Christ by knowing him. And how do I know him? I know him by studying the word. As I said previously, Ephesians 1:20 says, open the eyes of my understanding that I may know him. And by knowing him and being strengthened by his word, then my faith strengthens and I can stand confident. Then I will not have doubt, no matter what the circumstances I am going through or the challenges that I have. Because I know him, I am confident in him, and what his word promised me, that is what it is. There is no two ways about that. When his word says this, then I believe that because I know him. It all comes to that point where to know him. And when we go into the Hebrew, the knowing is actually like being intimate. So if we can be intimate with the Father, intimate with Jesus, to come to know him so intimately, there cannot be any doubt in me. I can only be confident in knowing that when I have asked him something, when I stand on his word, his promises. But again, I have to continuously set myself apart and be with him. It is possible. I am a working woman and I can do that. There are times during the day when I go to the ladies or when it's lunchtime. You know, you can visit with the Lord, you can chat with him. And then you can also, at nighttime when you're at home, spend time with him. In the morning early, spend time with him. That is when we get to know him. That is when we build an intimate relationship and faith is starting to grow inside of me. It just grows. When challenges come, there is something inside of you that strengthens you. The word of God says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. That joy is not necessarily me laughing all the time. It's just something inside of me that strengthens me, that I have such peace in me, that I know my Father, that what his word tells me, it will happen, no matter what I'm going through at this minute. When the three gentlemen were in the fire, when the fourth man appeared there, I mean, they were in the fire. They were not even scorched or singed or anything. The only thing that smelled was the rope that burned off their hands. So when we trust in, those three men trusted, they just said that they will die if it is necessary, but with Christ they will come alive, they will be alive, and it happened like that. So we can take from the old fathers of the history in the Bible and know that God is the same yesterday and forever.
You know, Erica, I'm thinking about the lady that was had that issue of blood. She had confidence that if she would touch the hem of his garment, she would be made whole. That is what faith is. I have confidence that the man that is healing, Jesus Christ, they call him, that if I could just touch his garment, I'm going to be made whole. Faith is believing and having confidence in God that everything he says in his word is who he is. His integrity. His integrity, what his word says is the final authority, the sovereign authority that takes precedent over anything and everything else. And when we begin to believe and have confidence in that word, then we release God's faith to work for us because it's Jesus's faith. The Bible says that when the lady touched his garment, virtue left him. It's his faith. When we seek him for joy, his joy is released unto us. When we seek him for peace, his peace is released unto us. So the same thing, when we have confidence in God, then it releases his faith to work for us. Right?
Yes, absolutely, absolutely.
Now getting back to what our beautiful Shanaz said on James 1:2-4, in order to have that confidence in God, that everything his word says and everything the Spirit of God shows us through revelation, that means we have sight and we have hearing, marrying it together, we will be able to walk in full confidence of everything we see and hear from God and do it, and never have to worry about the storms that are in conflict to the word of God. Because we all know, right, Gospel for Grampian listeners, when God gives you a word, the enemy comes to steal it, because he knows that the word applied is going to be success. So we have to have the word constantly and the Spirit of God watering that word so that there is no room for the enemy to steal it. But how we mature into having that confidence in God's word, in seeing and hearing God, is exactly what James 1:2-4 says. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Now, why we need to have faith is that if we don't have faith, Gospel for Grampian listeners, if we're not mature in our relationship with the Father, then we'll be having like a deja vu moment, constantly stepping out of the boat when Jesus says come, and then constantly drowning and having to be rescued and brought back onto the boat, never finishing our supernatural experience of walking on the water. I believe that he would have walked longer on water with Jesus had he not kept his eyes off Jesus. And so we've got a choice to make. And James 1:2-4 is telling us, Jesus is saying, I'm going to allow you to go through some testing so you can mature. Because without maturing, you cannot run your race and finish it. The race of faith cannot be completed. You cannot run the race. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do the good works that he created us to do. So Shanaz, if we don't allow God to shape us and mold us through James 1:2-4, through the testing and the perseverance and maturing us, without maturity, we will never finish our race. We will start something for the Lord and it will be incomplete.
Absolutely, Angelina. And I love what Erica and yourself has been speaking on faith, the confidence in Christ. Without hearing God's word, you cannot continue to develop that confidence in God. Because you said, Angelina, faith is simply put confidence in God. So how do we keep on developing that confidence is by hearing the word of God continuously. And when we don't hear it, then we start lacking in our confidence in God. And that's where we fail, like James says, then we will lack because we will not be able to persevere any longer because our confidence in the Lord diminishes. And that means that we are not feeding our spirit man with the word of God any longer. And so that's one of the key elements, I would say, as a Christian believer, you need to do every day continuously is meditate upon God's word. As you're meditating upon it, it's building your confidence in the Lord, like Angelina taught us now, confidence, hope in the Lord, which simply means now our faith is producing patience because we have confidence in God's word. And so I think James tells us, like you're saying, Angelina, we will not be able to complete this race. It's like a long distance runner. If they don't do the practice sessions ahead of time, as born again believers, what are we doing? How do we build our stamina? Is through the word of God. So I'm sure they eat a lot of what's the particular food,
pasta.
Like pasta and all of that, starch, yes. And so they build up their strength levels. And so as Christians, we need to build ourselves up, but through hearing God's word, so that our confidence does not lack in our Father. So that, like James says, we can complete our race, run our race well. We won't become weary, we won't be despondent, because when the challenges come, the storms come, we're able to keep our eyes focused on the word of God. We're not looking at it in the natural because our spirit man is strengthened and our confidence is in Abba Father. Thank you, beautiful ladies.
And I love, you know, I love how Peter describes how we should do it. And actually, I've been doing it for these last couple of months as well. Peter said, God, if it is you, give me a word. And God said, come, and he stepped out of the boat. So what we need to do to mature is when, like Shanaz says, ask God for a word daily. Ask God for a word daily, because when you get a word from God, then you know to act on that word, and the Spirit of the Lord will give you seeing ears to stand on that word, because you get revelation on the word. When God gives you a word, he doesn't give you a word blindly. There's a revelation with that word that makes you see it for the way God wants you to see it. For somebody, new wine or fresh oil or grain, for different people, it could mean different things. So when God gives you a word of wait, or wait and see, or my goodness, then you know the revelation of God will tell you what that goodness revelation means in order for you now to do what Peter had to do. Peter had to step out and walk on the water. So every day, Gospel for Grampian listeners, how you build your faith is do what Peter did. Lord, if it is you, give me a word today. Lord, and then you spend time in prayer, and in prayer, the Spirit of the Lord gives you the revelation. That is why you cannot, as a Christian, isolate the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, and prayer, which is intimacy, which is marrying the Word and marrying the Spirit of God into one that builds you up. I mean, Jesus himself, the Bible says, Erica, Jesus had the Spirit of God without measure. Yet, Mom, Jesus went and had quiet time with God. Yet he had the Spirit without measure, but he had quiet time with the Father. So if the Father is the Word, and the Spirit is the power of God giving him the revelation. So just like that, if we don't have Word, we don't have Jesus. If we don't have the Spirit of God, we don't have revelation. So faith cannot be established. Confidence in God cannot be established if we don't have fellowship with God, and that is bounded by the Word of God and the Spirit of God. Coming to that, Erica, I want to talk about, God talks about the two foundations, and our faith is tested by our foundation. He talks about building a house. One built their house on the rock, and the other built their house on sand. And when the winds blew and the floods came and the rain came, the house that was built on sand fell apart, but the house that was built on the rock still standing. Anything that we build on the earth will be tested. And it is not only tested on Judgment Day, but it is also tested on the earth, because we fall if we do not have confidence in God. So we have to build it on the foundation, which is Jesus, the rock. If we don't build our foundation on Jesus, then the issues of life, the storms, the challenges of life are going to make us fall apart. Talk to us, Erica, about the criticalness in the hour that we're living in to build our foundation in life on the rock of Jesus.
Yes, my conviction is truly to know the Word of God, because the Word of God is not black letters on white paper. The Word of God is Christ himself, and whatever he has spoken, whatever you read in the Bible, is as if you have a conversation with a living true God, and his word brings faith in you. His word strengthens you. His word gives you clarity that when there is doubt or when there is uncertainties, his word, everything you need in your life, no matter what it is in the word. And when you know the word keeps you steadfast. The word keeps you unshakable. The rock, who is Christ, is the one that is so steadfast. That is why he is made the cornerstone, to keep you steadfast, to hold you strong. But that is by having a deep, intimate relationship in his word. When you read the Bible, you don't read it as a storybook. You read it as if someone is talking to you You ask him questions, you get the answers, and the intimate relationship grows stronger, and your faith is becoming so strong that another person can come and tell you, look, there's a tsunami coming. It won't even affect you. So that when challenges come, it may sound easy when I say that, but it is not easy. It's a journey. He is so gracious that he walks this journey with you. He holds you by the hand. When your foot slips, then he picks you up and he says, come, you are my righteous child. Come, this is the way that you've read in my Bible. Then he brings remembrance of scriptures in my heart. And then we carry on. And so we go from strength to strength and from glory to glory. It is so important that the Word of God is active and alive inside of you. Do not be shaken, but to be steadfast on the unshakable rock, who is Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Erica. I'm going to repeat the two houses. Faith tests our foundation. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and the beat on that house, but it did not fall because it has been founded on the rock. What I love about this is the Word of God is saying, yeah, if you do God's Word, to do God's Word, that means you need to have a listening ear and a seeing eye, an eye that sees and understands, an ear that hears and understands. And everyone who hears these words of mine and do not do them is like a foolish man who builds his house on the sand, and the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. That's scary. It's saying, and great was the fall of it. That is very, very scary. So Gospel of Grampian listeners, as a born-again Christian, it is our duty to build on the rock of Jesus, which means we have to do the Word of God. So we have to have eyes to see, ears to hear, and obedience to the Word of God. Whatever the Spirit of God tells us to do, we do it. We die to the carnal. We die to the logical reasoning. We don't do what Peter did. God said walk on water, but he allowed the winds to scare him. We got to look past what is happening in the natural dimension, because God's Word is spirit and is truth, and it can have authority on the earth if we believe and have confidence in the Word. The Word cannot work for us if we don't have confidence in it, because fear will come and take away the confidence. That is what happened with Peter. He had the Word, therefore he was instructed to walk on water, but the minute fear came into him, he lost the Word and he drowned. So how we lose in life is because we allow the things of the carnal to take away the confidence that we have in the Word of God. So build yourself on the Word of God. Do the Word of God irrespective of what you are seeing in the natural, and you will have great success in Jesus' name. Beautiful Shanaz, please pray for the Gospel for Grampian listeners as we end.
Father God, we want to thank you for every individual that's listening to your Word. Thank you, Father God, that you will enable them to be obedient so that their faith, their confidence can increase in you. I thank you, Lord, that you will give them revelation, knowledge of your Word, that as they spend time with you, Abba Father, that you will reveal more truths unto them, O Lord. I pray, O Lord, that they will be mindful of when the enemy wants to rob them of their time with you, O God, that they will be cautious and, Father, alert to understand that the enemy wants to kill, steal, and destroy what you want to deposit into their lives, O God. That they will guard the Word of God, and that they will be mindful to be obedient to walk in Christ Jesus. I pray, Father God, just like the Lord spoke about the true vine, that they will become one with you, Abba Father, that they will be united in their hearts and in their minds with you, that the will of the Lord will be accomplished in and through their lives. I thank you, Lord, that they will not grow weary, Father, that they will be strengthened by the Word of God as they continue to meditate upon your Word. I pray, Abba Father, in the name of Jesus, for every situation, every demonic attack upon their lives, O Lord, that you will bring it to null and void in the name of Jesus. I pray for the peace of God to come upon their minds, O Lord, that no weapon formed against them will prosper in the name of Jesus. I pray, Father God, for the love of God that you have shed abroad in their hearts, that it will overflow in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, for every situation, every mountain in their lives. We speak peace in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, for answered prayer. Thank you for testimonies. that will come forth in the name of Jesus. And so we say thank you, Lord, that we could share the gospel this evening. And we thank you, Lord, that the word of God is alive and active, and it shall be accomplished according to your will, on this earth as it is in heaven, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Abba Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Gospel for Grampian listeners, as we end our faith topic next week, join us as we give you some great testimonies of the goodness of God coming from our lives as we walk by faith and not by sight. We love you. Ta-ta.